Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen. I want you to look at the image on the screen. It's obviously an artist's rendition of Jesus holding a lamb. And if you're thinking, oh, so that's what Jesus looks like, no, not at all. What we do know about Jesus is how he attracted people to himself because of his forgiving nature, his compassion for sinners, his willingness to help those who suffered from physical disabilities or from demonic oppression and bondage. Not only that, Jesus treated women respectfully. And because of that, he could lovingly reprimand Martha for complaining when Mary sat and listened at the master's feet instead of serving table, to which Jesus said, Mary has chosen the good thing, the better thing. Jesus even used the hated Samaritan as his hero for the story you're well familiar with. I'm not sure people were attracted to him because he was just so good looking, like the image on the screen, but it was about his unusual character, unusual because it was unlike any other human being we've ever known. But that's not what I wanted you to look at. I want you to look at the big, brown, innocent eyes of the little lamb, totally comforted in the arms of Jesus. The little lamb is more like our cats at home, who, when you pick them up, try to shred your body with their claws in order to get away. That's the lamb. So don't be deceived by those big brown eyes and legs folded in total comfort. Remember, the reason the shepherd is holding this little lamb, it's because this clueless animal wandered off and probably got himself into a predicament. Maybe he got caught and permanently stuck in a thorny bush, or was about to drown because he got in a little too deep in a spring and he couldn't escape the rushing waters. Or maybe he was surrounded by wild dogs about to be made a meal. Innocent? Not a chance. He wandered away, some might say stupidly, others might say rebelliously. In either case, the lost lamb needed to be found and rescued, because even if there was no present danger in that moment, it didn't mean that trouble wasn't lurking just around the corner. I don't know about you, but I have been both stupid and rebellious as a Lamb of God. But thankfully, I was saved, like you, by grace of the Good Shepherd who sought and found me before it was too late. And so when I read Psalm 23, I hear David reflecting on just how good the Good Shepherd has been to him. There's a story, again, you're so familiar with from 2 Samuel that talks about David as a little boy, 1 Samuel, when he was a little boy. And he was bringing supplies to his brothers who were out in a conflict against the constant nemesis, the Philistines, and more specifically in this case, against the giant Goliath. And he sprung into action and declared to King Saul that he would stand and fight against this seemingly unconquerable Philistine warrior. Well, being told that he was too young and that his counterpart was a well-seasoned warrior, David argues back. He says to Saul, Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear, he took a lamb from the flock. I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defiled the armies of the living God. And David said, "The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." What gave David such calm in the midst of a very real storm? Wasn't it his faith that the Lord was with him through every ordeal? It was the grip of the Good Shepherd on his life. And it was that peace that gave shape to Psalm 23, which is worth hearing again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, in the minds of every Israelite, David was the epitome of the innocent little lamb with his legs crossed in perfect peace because he knew the Lord was with him as his good shepherd. You know, but for me, it would be really nice to know just when Psalm 23 came about. When in David's life was it written? Was it during his youth when his thoughts and words and actions were in more accord with the will of God? And that everything he did seemed to be right and good? Or was it toward the end of his life, after which some of the thoughts, words, and actions could be described as stupid or rebellious? It's really important to know that David wasn't always the perfect, innocent little lamb, and that that was the reason that God was looking out for him. 2 Samuel 11 describes one of David's lapses in his encounter with Bathsheba. The story is so much more than just an affair. You see, David should have been out in the fields with his armies fighting against the enemy. But where is he? He's at home, in the palace, living the good life. In a moment of weakness, King David takes advantage of this young girl. News comes about a baby, his. And during this time, her husband, Uriah, is on the battlefield fighting on behalf of David's army. When David attempts to deceive not just Uriah, but his entire kingdom, he does something that is unthinkable. He sends word through Uriah, of all people, to the commander to put Uriah at the very center, at the hot point of the battle, and then to withdraw his troops in order that Uriah would be killed. And it happens. You see, it's important for us to know that David wasn't the innocent little lamb being held in the arms of the shepherd. He's as guilty as sin, adultery, deception, murder. These are not the attributes of an innocent person by any means. And our sins are not descriptive of innocence either. And yet David experienced the relentless pursuit of his good shepherd and Savior. And he received what you and I are here for today, forgiveness. So as we are here listening to this great psalm of comfort, peace, protection, provision, the promise of eternal place in the heavenly realms, I hope that you'll consider your own life. From what danger has the Lord rescued you? And while some danger is the result of our environment, the lions and the bears that we come across in everyday circumstances in this world, but many times the danger is of our own stupidity and rebelliousness. In his dealings with sinners, we still see him taking his flock to green pastures, leading them beside still waters, refreshing dry and impoverished souls. In love and forgiveness, he leads them in paths of righteousness. When in danger, he protects the weak. When lacking knowledge, his words become like a rod and a staff that brings us gentle rebuke and correction, and strangely enough, out of all that, comfort. The imagery deepens as David portrays himself as the honored guest and permanent resident in God's house. He says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." There's kind of a strange ancient custom here. It's a custom of hospitality and respect shown to esteemed dinner guests, in which the host would anoint his invitees to receive. The oil was mixed with fragrant perfumes to refresh and soothe the weary travelers. Listen to this. In spite of our many transgressions against the Lord, His love returns to us in hospitality and a respect that we don't deserve. Yet He gives it because He is the devoted shepherd, even toward wayward sheep like you and me. One of my favorite passages is found in Paul's second letter to Timothy. And he says, "Remember Christ Jesus, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy." This is so important. "If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him," a warning, "he will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." The character of a devoted shepherd. What does Jesus look like? Certainly not the painting on the screen. While we will not see Jesus' human image until we get to heaven, we certainly recognize him now by his character as the devoted shepherd who comes for wayward sinners like you and me. And for that we say, all praise, glory, and honor be to Christ Jesus, our good shepherd. And all God's people will say, Amen.